and welcome to this LDCU Talking Online Learning Podcast. My name is Jim Judges, and I'm a Senior Academic Technologist here at the University of Warwick. This is a specially themed podcast episode looking at the use of digital badges to support teaching and learning. In Moodle, you may know that these badges can be used to record and celebrate achievements and help to show progress. The tutor can decide to award badges based on a variety of chosen criteria. That might be for completing one thing or for completing many different things. Any awarded badges are then displayed on a user's profile. As you will hear, I caught up with five different colleagues from across the university who were kind enough to share their experiences and thoughts on this topic. The experiences are certainly broad, from using badges with small groups of foundation and undergraduate level students to using badges with whole cohorts of 1,200 postgraduate students, and indeed using them to support staff CPD. You'll see there's lots to learn. I also briefly share some research that was published in 2020 by colleagues at Warwick and Monash universities. As ever, there's plenty of food for thought and lots to learn from colleagues across the University of Warwick and beyond.
Yeah, hello, my name is Joanne Rayner. I'm a teaching fellow in Warwick Foundation Studies, and I work on the International Foundation Programme. I teach international students. I teach them EAP, English for Academic Purposes, and I'm the module convener for EAP for Social Sciences and Law.
That's great. Well, the reason I'm pleased to catch up with you is that there was a discussion on Teams recently and an exchange about using badges and Moodle badges in particular. And I was wondering if you could tell us about what experience you have as far as this is concerned and how you've used them and any feedback or anything else.
Yeah, so I've got quite limited experience. I used them in one academic year. It was 2019 to 2020. And it was kind of part of a wider thing that I was trying to do to make my Moodle site a bit more interactive rather than being just a repository for handouts and PowerPoints. So I'd looked at like introducing some H5P activities. And I also was interested in using badges. So back then, my module wasn't credit bearing, and we only had 2 hours a week. So part of the reason for introducing the H5P activities was to get the students to be doing some stuff outside of classroom before they came to the lessons, which we could then build on. But also because it wasn't credit bearing, I introduced badges with the idea of it being a kind of motivation for the students. So they could do the tasks on Moodle and they'd earn some badges and that would motivate them. I didn't base it on any research that I'd done, so I just kind of went and did it. I didn't actually research it before I did it. But I did do some feedback. I did feedback with them at the end of term two. I did a pen and paper survey, handed it out around class. And it was a small group. It was about 13 students. And because it was more generally about Moodle, there was only one question about badges. And the question was like whether badges are motivating for me. And it was really about a 50-50 split. And I'd hoped to sort of go back to them and get a bit more qualitative feedback from them. But then it was the end of term two in 2020, so we went into lockdown and I never saw them again. So I didn't.
Well, can I just ask before we move on about some specifics then? So how much learning were they doing and how often were they getting a badge? And have you got an example of what for?
Yeah, so I created different activities, like H5P activities, like the interactive video. And so what I'd do is I would let them have a badge for watching that activity and completing that activity. So I set it within the settings to be automatically awarded upon activity completion. For some badges, I had a series of activities that they needed to complete to receive the badge. I can't remember how many badges I had. I think it might have been around 30.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So quite a substantial amount of badges. And when you said 50-50, so some students were positive about it, maybe, but some students weren't. Can you remember any reasons for any negative comments, perhaps?
Well, that's what I didn't really get to explore because we then went into the lockdown. So as I said, one of my reasons for introducing them was to sort of motivate the students, and half of them said it did motivate them, So you could say, well, that's better than no students being motivated. But then I also don't know if those students would have been motivated to do the activities anyway.
Yes.
So I didn't really get to unpick it.
Okay. And what do you think about, are you tempted to try this again, or would you do it differently if you were going to start from scratch?
I kind of would like to do it again. Partly because I myself am quite motivated by getting badges. You know, I was in the Brownies and used to get badges for, you know, for doing certain things. And I did swimming and, you know, you get your 25 metres badge. And I personally found that really motivating. So it is something that I'd like to revisit, but I'd like to do it like a bit more research about it.
Yes.
Because like I say, I didn't look into it. I don't know what's a suitable number of badges to have per course. How much should you have to do to receive a badge so that it doesn't become, you know, meaningless?
That's right. Yeah, I understand. And it could be that maybe those 30 badges, they might be whittled down to, say, six, or maybe one a week. Or if you've completed the mandatory tasks for this topic, you will get a badge. So, yeah, I don't know. But these are good questions. And I'm talking to a number of people about this same topic to see how they're using and what they think. And it's interesting just to hear your experience. So have you got any other thoughts then, or anything else you're wondering?
Yeah, so another thing that with my badges, it was just based on activity completion. So they just had to do the activity. It didn't demonstrate any competence. Like, you get your 25 metre swimming badge and it shows that, well, I can swim 25 metres. All these badges really show actually was that you completed the activities on Moodle.
Yes.
So maybe that kind of takes away a little bit of the significance, possibly.
Yes.
On a sort of practical side, when you set the badges on Moodle, you have to upload the image.
Yes.
So I didn't know. One of the things I wanted to find out was, like, what kind of images do you like? You know, if you've got a badge that you're displaying, what do you want it to look like? I was worried that some of them might have been a bit childish.
Yes, I understand that. That can be a concern, yes. So you might get some feedback on that. And it's interesting just to think, and I don't know if you've used it, Joanne, that in Moodle there is the activity completion setting that gives the tick.
Yes, I do have that.
So that could be the sort of micro subatomic accreditation for the individual activities, and then maybe the badge could be more an amalgamation. But I'm sure there's no right or wrong. It just depends on what works. But I do take your point that there's a danger that if they get too many badges for everything they do, they might lose, as you said, the significance. Yeah.
I also wondered about, like, whether you could have like a hierarchy of badges.
Yes.
You know, whether you do a certain minimum amount, say, and you get a one type of badge, but if you sort of go above and beyond, you get a different, a better badge in some way. But again, it's not anything that I really researched.
Yeah.
I think those were kind of my main thoughts, really. It's really about what should you have to do to achieve a badge to make it sort of worthwhile and meaningful.
Yeah, that's a good question. And although I'm sure there is no definitive answer, I'm sure there'll be some ideas and perhaps recommendations from others. So let's have a look at what others have got to say. So thanks for your time this afternoon, Joanne.
No problem.
Thank you. Good to meet you. So I'm here with Pete Fossey, and rather than me introduce you, perhaps you could introduce yourself, say a little bit about your role at Warwick.
Yeah, sure. Hi, I'm Pete. I'm a senior teaching fellow. I work for the Academic Development Centre, where I and my colleagues work to support teaching staff in kind of all aspects of their role related to learning and teaching.
That's great. And could you say a little bit about how you have used badges recently, on what programme and what you've done with those?
Yeah, sure. So the main part of my role is I work on a program called the Academic Professional Pathway for Teaching Excellence, which is the introduction to teaching and learning in higher education for staff who are new to Warwick. And a lot of them are pretty new to higher education, normally only have a year or two's teaching experience at the most. So it's a very kind of wide ranging course. We cover a lot of topics and it's accredited by Advance AGE. So there's a lot of moving parts, if you like. There's a lot of activities for the participants to complete. And it's always been a blended program that was mostly online. And at the moment, obviously, we're running it wholly online. So we've kind of historically used badges to chunk up the course and make it easier for the participants to see when they actually have completed all of the elements that belong to one particular section. So it gives them that kind of visual indication and makes it easier for them to like to track what's going on and make sure that by the time they get to the end of this year-long course, they have completed all the bits they need to.
Yeah, so for somebody who completes the course, how many badges would they get in total?
Six, I believe. Six. There's two that are related to like the face-to-face learning activities that we used to do in the older versions of the course.
Yeah.
And then four more that are related to like sections of the course as they move through.
And what typically might I have to do for one of those badges then? What sorts of things would come together to mean that I've earned that badge?
Yeah, so in the newish version of the course that we've been running since April last year, there's, for example, a badge related to design, assessment and feedback. So when you've worked through like 3 months of the course, you'll have done some reading and watched some recordings and things relating to things like constructive alignment, assessment diversification, reasons we assess and feedback practice and things like that, completed a couple of group discussions and submitted a couple of pieces of formative assessment. The thing is, obviously, not all of that is directly tracked through the Moodle. Like the group discussions, for example, would take place elsewhere. Like we've left that up to participants, really, to do that in the way that makes most sense to them. I think most people have gone for Teams. So, yeah, with the badges, there is that slight discrepancy that they can only track the things that are directly done through Moodle. And the course is a bit kind of broader than that. But it's I think it's still useful for getting a handle on kind of where people are.
Yeah. And I think I'm right in thinking that the badge can be awarded automatically if students have completed things. But then it can also require the tutor's manual award if that was something that perhaps you wanted to do, and maybe you need to check that they'd done a particular something maybe. So I suppose that's possible. What about what's your thinking? What's the idea behind it then? What benefit does it bring? Does it help you as a tutor to keep an eye on what students are doing, or is it helping the students to see their progress, or a bit of all of that, or what do you think?
Yeah, it's a bit of both. The main reason was to give the participants like an easy visual indication of where they've got up to in the course. And because with it being mostly blended learning, they, under the old system at least, they wouldn't really have any contact with us quite an extended period of time between the early face-to-face sessions and then submitting at the end of the course. Okay. So it was important for them to have, yeah, like a visual record of how they're progressing through the course.
And what about any feedback, any positives, negatives? What do you think? Is it something that is proving itself and you'll continue with, or are you looking to change, or is it going to evolve in any way?
Yeah, so I've had a look through and I can't find anyone ever having directly mentioned the badges in the feedback. I think the closest we get is from time to time people would email saying, like, I think I've completed this section, but I don't have the badge yet. So yeah. I think in that way, that is quite a useful function.
Yeah.
Like it kind of gives people an opportunity to raise that question. So yeah. I can imagine we'll continue using them, but we might think about how we're using them and like the badging structure, because obviously the course has changed quite a lot under lockdown.
Yeah, I can see that. And I suppose no negative comments could be seen as certainly positive or neutral. They don't hate them, at least. Let's hope. Was there anything else you wanted to say about badges, Pete?
I guess the only thing that kind of comes to mind here is that I guess the badges are sort of a light form of gamification. And so I think that's something that I think is worth thinking about, especially in the context of like professional learning, like how we use that and needing to use it in a way that's kind of fits the tone of what we're doing. I guess the bit that surprised me a little is that there's been no feedback on the badges either way, so we don't really know if they're playing any kind of like motivational role for our participants as opposed to just being a kind of tracking system.
And that'll be interesting to have a look at what others have done.
Oh, hi Jim, so my name's Chris Evans. I'm Head of Technology Enhanced Learning at WMG. Warwick Manufacturing Group, but I also teach in IATL, so the Institute for Advanced Teaching and Learning at Warwick. Now, I guess in the past I've always been slightly slightly dubious of the badges, of their worth, of their value, but I guess with the teaching in IATL, it's kind of opened my eyes. And I guess also in my current role with working closely with tutors and teachers, teaching staff, to see how they can develop these badges in order to enhance the teaching and learning.
Yeah, and what do you think about, perhaps you could explore that, because I think plenty of folks listening to this might themselves be a little bit sceptical. So what is that scepticism and where's the balance? What are your concerns? And then what have you found? Tell us about how you've used them and what you've found. But what are your original concerns or existing concerns?
Well, my scepticism is born out of the very nature of giving a badge as an award. It feels, and it still feels this way to me, as a giving someone a star, as you had in primary school. Yeah. So I had to kind of look beyond that and think beyond that. And then also in my role as a teacher, think about how those rewards that were given to us, that we actually valued when we were young, how that value can be interpreted in a different way with the older student.
Yeah, yeah. And what about that then? So do you want to say anything about how you ended up using them and what students got them for and what your experience of them was?
So we ended up using them because I had a co-tutor who was quite keen on developing them. So the assessment is 60% for the finished game and the essay that goes with that. There was a 30% grade awarded to a game. It's a serious game, so it's a serious game review. And there was 10% that was awarded for participation. And it was the 10% awarding for participation that was a good place to use badges. So here's an incentive for students. You're also going to get part of your grade for this as well.
Yeah.
So, and when I say participation, every week there was a assessed piece of homework which the students would undertake, which was only a small piece of work, but they would effectively, for the 10-week module, they would get 1% mark for that and an accompanying badge.
Yes, I understand, I think. And how was that badge awarded? Is it awarded manually based on a register, or do they have to do something and it happens automatically?
No, they do something and it's awarded automatically. And we inform them about this at the beginning. And for us, it was a way of getting them to, it was a reward. So they get a badge. We are doing game design, so there's a certain gamey feel into that as well.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Also, and obviously serious game as well. So you can see the connection there. But also it got them to, because it's quite easy to not do the homework, even though there's, you know, a 1% mark doesn't seem a lot, but it adds up to 10% at the end. And generally we get the students completing this work with one or two exceptions.
Yeah.
And we felt that although we haven't got a massive amount of evidence, because we've always used badges for this module, we feel that it actually contributed to the students completing that part of the assessment.
And did it help you at all as a tutor tracking the students, or did you already know if they'd done this stuff or not, or were you able to see the badges and therefore see who'd done what?
We could see the badges, but we did have tracking in place anyway, so it didn't really give us any advantage there.
Okay. And I can see how there's that overlap and connection with your module related to gaming. Do you think other colleagues might be tempted in WMG to take this up, or is it going to remain a minority sport, do you think, using badges?
I think for my own teaching, it became an essential part of the course. There are other colleagues within WMG who've taken it up. It's probably something which I can advise them on more now, because my role within WMG as head of technology enhanced learning is there's a certain amount of advising that goes on there, or if someone wants to ask me about something, I might be able to suggest badges.
Yep.
And I can do it with a certain amount of confidence. And because of the journey that I've gone through, it's easier for me to explain to them the benefits that would give to the students and to the overall module.
Thanks for your time this afternoon, Chris. Always good to catch up.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. It's always good to chat.
Tilly Harrison. I work in applied linguistics. I'm associate professor there. I've been at Warwick a long time, since 2003, and my main teaching is on a master's in to teachers in of English for speakers of another language, TESOL. But I also teach on the MSc and the undergraduate programs that we have. And so, Jim, you're asking me about badges.
Yes. Tell us about what you've done with them. Yeah.
I wouldn't say I'm an expert, but I started using them because we had a bit of a conundrum with one of my modules. The assessment was a blog, and we were noticing year, and it was really very good, a very, very successful module. It was the ICT in TESOL module. So we were just teaching students uses of technology for teaching English. And we were asking them to blog, and they were blogging, but they were a little bit sad that nobody was reading it. So we asked other students to comment, and we said, please, you know, comment on each other's blogs. And it really did make a difference, because we couldn't, as teachers, promise to go and read and comment on every student's post. And anyway, they were assessed, so I didn't think it would be fair, because I could see it happening that a student would say, somebody's, you've read so and so, and you've put so many words of comment, and I didn't get any comment, etc. So it occurred to me that we could give badges for comments. So that was my first experience of badges. We made a badge for 5 comments. If you had commented on other students 5 times, you got a 5 comment badge. And then there was a 10 comment badge, a 15 comment badge, a 20 comment badge. And then if you'd commented more than 20 times, or at the end of the module, we had the king and queen of commenting. So we had the two winners who had the most comments. So
can I just ask then, Tilly, in terms of awarding that badge, was Moodle counting the number of times students commented, or did you have to do that?
Well, you hit on the nub there. It's it started with me, because I had some small numbers of students, and then it was an option module, but on some years it's a really popular one, and I had maybe 20 students one year, and I thought, I just can't do this, go around and be counting how many comments people have been putting. So I made a wiki within the Moodle for the students to put in their own comments. So when it was a sort of a huge grid of their names, who was commenting and who they were commenting on, so that they could also keep a track of who they were commenting on the most, etc., and try and comment on everybody, and so, you know, keep it fair. And that made it a one place stop for me to go. I still had to do the counting, but at least I didn't have to go to the blogs all the time. Yes. So it was up to the students who wanted the badges to go and fill in the wiki and say who they'd commented on. And of course, I kept a check on people not pretending they'd commented when they
hadn't. Yes. Well, that's interesting, because I'm aware, as you will be, that the forum tool in Moodle has that tracking feature, and that you can say that it's complete if a student has made so many posts, for example. So it's a shame that the blogging tool perhaps doesn't count in that similar way. So it sounds potentially a bit more onerous. Sorry if I interrupted you, but what was the student feedback or student experience? Do you have any feeling if students valued the award of these badges?
Well, you know, in a group of 20, I think there would always be a little cohort of about 4 or 5 who loved it and were, you know, obviously going out there. And one of the criteria was this comment has to be more than good job, yeah, well done. It had to be meaningful. But even if that meant that they did a lot of commenting, the knock-on effect of that was the students who were being commented on, even if they didn't care about the badge, were actually feeling a lot more kind of noticed. And the blogging itself, the quality of the blogging went up, the quality of the comments went up, and the overall experience of doing blog as an assessed assignment went up. So even though the badges themselves might not be motivating, it had a really positive effect on the whole task. So for me, I know that there are students who really don't care about the badges, but they do care about having their blog commented on. And so so it's worth it for me.
That. And just to confirm then, from a technical point of view, that means that you were awarding those badges manually. Is that right?
I was. And it is a task, and it is quite hard to keep track of it. But as I say, I do feel it's worth it. That was my first experience, and I have another module where we're doing it differently. And so that's the practice assignment module, which is running right now. And the reason we started to use badges for this, in fact, we only started last year, is that when we went to recorded materials rather than lectures for this, it's an academic writing module. It's very short. And it allows them to do a practice assignment to get in the swing of being a master's student or doing academic writing and get some feedback before they have to do an assessed assignment. And we realised that they wouldn't be having a lot of feedback from staff and maybe not even from each other because they might not see each other, they would might be online. So we decided to award badges for the quizzes that they were doing. So these were automatically awarded, and for the forum posts. And at the end of that, the evaluation, there was a couple of students who said they liked the badges. So,
okay. Yeah.
So I think with badges, it's one of those things that there won't be a big take up.
Yeah.
But the ones who do like it, yes, really do get motivated by it. And,
yeah,
and so I think it, from that point of view, if the overall reason that you're doing the badge helps the module as a whole, I think it's worth it.
And in that case, then, these badges were being awarded by Moodle. You didn't have to do that manually. Is that right?
Or, well, that was the theory, that although there was one which was a Padlet task, like introduce us, and I had to go and check who had introduced themselves. And so I did have to do the counting and do the awarding manually. But I didn't mind that because it forced me to go and read these introductions.
Indeed.
This year we've got 100 students, so that was quite a lot of reading. But then Moodle was supposed to be awarding them automatically, but I'm afraid there was a glitch and I had to get services involved.
Okay.
And they managed to sort it out. I'm not exactly sure how they did it, but anyway, now it's working again.
That's good to hear. And what about I have seen others commenting on the challenge of designing the badge itself. Do you have any tips? How do you design and build your badge?
Well, I had fun doing that, actually. I went into Canva, I think, for the Moodle the blogging badges, and for the practice assignment ones, I think I just made them in PowerPoint. Just making a circle, different coloured circles, and then bringing in a graphic that I found on I don't know, Unsplash or Pixabay, somewhere like that.
Oh yeah. And what do you think for the future? Might you extend it, or have you got any plans on how it might evolve or change?
So I teach undergrads as well, and I've been thinking about whether I should be using badges with them. But I'm wondering, because I think being younger, they are very sensitive to things that they think might not be cool, and badges might be a little bit too childish for them. So but I think the more experience I get with using badges and, you know, discovering how students react to them and what kinds of students react to them, the more I'll be able to judge in future what are suitable, you know, tasks and what are suitable groups.
Yes.
And so I'm just hoping that I'll be able to find the sweet spot.
Well, good luck with that, and do keep us posted on your progress. Thanks for speaking to me today.
Oh, thanks for the opportunity, Jim. Nice to talk to you. Bye.
Hi, my name is Dr. Lauren Schrock. I am the module leader for the full-time master's provision of SPA. And SPA stands for Study, Professional, and Analytical Skills, and it's a module delivered to WMG students. The Study, Professional, and Analytical Skills module is very unique in that we're really helping postgraduate students not only survive but succeed in their transition to postgraduate education, so providing them with the academic skills support to succeed in assignments, dissertation, and professional development.
Excellent. So I'm sure that must keep you busy. And I'm interested in hearing about your use of badges. I've been speaking to quite a few people across the University of Warwick, and Chris Evans tipped me off that you do some work with badges. Do you want to say a little bit about what you've done with those, what your experience has been, and what you might be planning for the future?
Yes, of course. So we have three streams, if you will, in SPA. So you have a study skills stream, professional skills stream, and an analytical skills stream. And then each week we have students complete a series of activities across two of the three streams. So really what our badges have allowed us to do is to monitor student engagement on a weekly basis. So for instance, this has been really helpful as we have over 1,200 students currently taking our module. So it's been a real help to just kind of monitor progress as well as see the overall journey of not only the cohort, but also even individual students to see which areas they've engaged within our module, where perhaps they've dropped out. And that can then tell us a lot in terms of where we can signpost students to continued support. So for instance, if students haven't completed our session on referencing academic integrity and avoiding plagiarism, then it's really easy for us to signpost to that material because it's facilitated with the badge. But then second, of course, if they have already earned that badge and there's still some difficulties, then that also gives us a great sense for where we can add material and improve upon for next year to really then make sure we're meeting our students' needs as much as possible.
Yeah, this sounds good. So just thinking about some of the detail then, if I'm a postgraduate student, what do I have to do to earn one of these badges then? What would be an example?
Sure, of course. So in order to earn badges on a weekly basis, there would be a series of different activities created each week that students would need to complete. For instance, this might be a combination of quizzes, questionnaires, polls, where they get to actively engage with the material they're learning about.
Yeah, okay. And for anybody who might just be getting started in this area, you're suggesting, I think, that it's useful for you as a tutor and your team to monitor progress. How do you actually do that? Are you looking at a spreadsheet? Are you looking at individual profiles? Where are you managing to monitor badges?
Sure. So one of the easiest things just to monitor badges, if you go onto Moodle, you can click Manage Badges and you can see the number of badges that have been awarded to the number of students. And that metric has actually just been a lifesaver. It's a really quick way just to see the numbers as they're progressing. And so, for instance, we can even check it in the morning. We can check it on a weekly basis to see how the numbers are evolving. And then if we have particular interest in a student, for instance, if they're struggling with any learning, then it's easy for us to look up their profile on Moodle and then to see which badges they've been awarded.
Yeah, that sounds good. And what about feedback from students themselves? Any positive, negative, any comments?
Of course, yeah. I think the big one for us has been in terms of feedback, communicating how the badges are completed and achieved. So, for instance, one of the things that we've been building on is, for example, at the start of every week, students have a book that they have to complete. And at the start of the book, we make it very clear which activities are needed to be complete or achieved in order to earn the badge. So it's very clear at the start of the lesson. It's also clear at the end of the lesson as well, just to remind them about the activities in the other stream to complete. In addition, one of the things we've also included this year is the use of a checklist. So that way, too, if a student hasn't earned their badge, they're able to check the badge checklist, which signposts them to the activities as well. So that way, because we have so many students, this makes it easy then for students to find the answer of how do I achieve my badge, which has been one of the pieces of feedback we've received in the past.
Yeah, that's interesting to hear. Well, it certainly sounds like you're dealing with a high volume of students and badges. What's the total number of badges that one student could earn if they earned all the badges available?
Oh, gosh. So last year we started off with 10. This year we're going up to 20.
Oh, yeah. So quite an undertaking. And do you have any tips for anybody who might be thinking about introducing these with students?
Sure. I would definitely say go for it. As a member of staff, definitely take a moment to think about what you want to do and what you want to achieve, because it's much easier to fix things before the badge is released. So we definitely say take a bit of time, design, but it's definitely fun. Students have enjoyed it. It's been a great way to kind of gamify the learning experience.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for your time. And it's great to talk to you, Lauren.
Thanks.
In addition to chatting to colleagues, I was also grateful to receive some research on the impact on undergraduates and teaching staff of displaying transferable skills badges. Colleagues at Warwick and Monash universities, including Russ Kitson, Lynn Bailey and Paolo Coppo from Warwick, have been involved in research into the use of badges, and in 2020 they published a journal article in the Active Learning in Higher Education journal. I'll put some information in the podcast show notes. They share mixed methods study that explores the use of skills badges as icons displayed on curriculum materials in several disciplines at Warwick and Monash. And the badges were used to draw students' attention to skill development opportunities in an approach that it is suggested is easily scalable in any discipline. So it's worth having a look at the full report. The study suggests that badges prompt students to think about skills and increase recognition of the improvements of some skills, particularly those less obvious to them. Other benefits can include clarification of the purpose of tasks, leading to increased motivation or engagement, greater satisfaction after task completion, and also the identification of examples of skills that students can share in job applications, and helping to provide links between the curriculum and employability are all potential benefits that are suggested here. Understanding the purpose of the badges and how to use them is key to students engaging with them. So a important factor for increasing the impact of the badges is for teaching staff to talk about them and clearly communicate their presence and purpose. The study also suggests that displaying skills badges may even impact teaching staff by prompting them to communicate more to students that they are building transferable skills, and it can prompt staff to reflect on their teaching practice and adjust what they're doing to provide students with sufficient opportunities to develop any stated skills. One further important conclusion coincides with comments that we have heard from other discussions in this podcast about badges, and that is that results suggest that undergraduates would prefer to receive skills badges on merit rather than just for completing a task. And this has led to further developments in chemistry, where some badges are now awarded at a competent or an advanced level, for example in numeracy and communication. There are recognised limitations of the study as ever, and worth having a look at this in more detail. And further work from these same researchers and elsewhere in this area will be interesting for us all to follow. The full details then of this research will be made available in the podcast notes. Please do have a look at that if you're interested. Thanks for listening to this specially themed edition of the LDCU Talking Online Learning Podcast. I hope you've enjoyed finding out about the digital badges as much as I have, and it's always good to hear about the different and varied experiences of colleagues from across the university. So until next time, thanks for listening.